Okay, so we are up to, it's page Taf Yud Dalet. You want the second side of that sheet. Siv Tet. And he's commenting now on the line in the Shulchan Aruch that said, I'm trying to find it here, but it's actually not on this page. But in any case, that said that you're supposed to violate Shabbos in order to save somebody who is dangerously ill. So he quotes you the Gemara, which I brought in greater depth on Source Aleph on your side sheets. If you take a look first at the sheet, you'll get to see the Gemara that he is excerpting. Thanks. This is the classic Gemara on saving a life and overriding Shabbos in order to do so. The context is the discussion in the Mishnah in Yuma about what to do if there's a house that collapses, a wall collapses, and there are people underneath, and it's Shabbos. So the Gemara here quotes Tanoim from the times of the Mishnah. Ukvar Haya Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mahalchen Baderech. Right? Four great Tanoim, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, three great, I should say, authors of the Mishnah come along, and Levi Hasadar and Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah are Mahalchen Achareim. They're followed by two other sages. Nish ala she'ela zu bifneihem. And this question is asked in front of them. Minayin lepikuach nefesh shadocha es haShabbos. How do you know that saving a life overrides Shabbos? Nene Rabbi Yishmael va'amar im b'machteres imatzei haganov. So Rabbi Yishmael responds, or declares, the word ne'ena doesn't really mean to respond, it means to declare. He declares the pasuk im b'machteres imatzei haganov, which is the pasuk that says that if somebody breaks into a house, the homeowner is fully licensed to kill that person, working with the assumption that this person would have killed him if he had found him. That's the what the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim. So he deduces from there. He says, "Uma zesha safek al mamon ba safek al nefashos ba." He says, "The case of the thief, we don't know what he's there for. Meaning, it could be he's just there for money and isn't going to do anything worse. And in the event that the owner of the house wakes up, he would run away. But it's also possible that in the event that he got caught, he would kill the homeowner." So we don't know. Ushvichos damim mitame es haaretz v'gorim l'shchina shetestalik miYisrael, and murdering somebody, spilling somebody's blood, it contaminates the land, causes Hashem to leave the Jewish people, and yet nita matzila b'nafsho. This fellow, the homeowner, is entitled to kill the bandit, to kill the burglar, in order to save himself. So we are allowing him, even though he doesn't know what the burglar would do. Right, he's a safek. He doesn't know what the burglar would do, and even though murder is so terrible, nonetheless, we're going to let him act in order to save himself. So we are overriding the prohibition against murder, right? Even though you're not even sure. So kal v'chomer lepikuach nefesh shadoch es haShabbos. How much more so then, saving a life should override Shabbos? If saving a life will override murder, saving a life certainly overrides Shabbos. That's his argument. I then skipped Rabbi Akiva's argument because it's a little more complex than we're going to go into right now, and I jumped to Rabbi Elazar's argument. Nene Rabbi Elazar va'omar, Rabbi Elazar declared, Uma Mila, he says, look at Bris Mila. She echa b'masayim v'arboim u'shmona evarim shaba adam. It is one of the 248 evarim on the human body. It's a mitzvah involving just one part of the body, so to speak. And docha es haShabbos, and yet Bris Mila overrides Shabbos. Kal v'chomer l'chol gufo. How much more so for one's entire body, meaning to save one's life, shadocha es haShabbos. Bris Mila overrides it. So too, saving the entire body overrides. It's an interesting argument. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda gives me another answer. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Torah says, Ach es shavso sai tishmoru. Only you shall guard my Shabbos. So he says, Es shavso sai tishmoru. Guard my Shabbos. Yachol akol. I might think that that means guard my Shabbos no matter what, in all circumstances. Tamad lomar, ach. Nope, because the Torah says, only you shall guard my Shabbos. The word ach, we understand, is exclusive. It indicates that there's some case where it's not going to be so. Chilek, it splits the field of cases and says, in certain cases you should do this, and in certain cases not. Where is it that I'm not supposed to fulfill a Shabbos Tishmoru? To save a life. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef comes along and he gives another answer. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, Omer ki kodesh hilachem, because the Torah says you shall guard Shabbos because Shabbos is holy for you. He mesura biyadchem v'lo'atem mesurim biyadah. Shabbos is given over into your hands. You are not given over into Shabbos's hands. Meaning that the Shabbos is meant to help you. You're not supposed to suffer because you observe Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh gives me another pasuk. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Omer v'shamru b'nei Yisrael as haShabbos. The Jews shall guard Shabbos. Amra Torah chalel alav Shabbos achas kedei sheyishmor Shabbos as harbei. So he said, look, how are you guarding Shabbos better? By not breaking it to save this fellow's life. Then that means that all the Shabbatot that person would have observed are now lost. Better to violate it once, and that way there will be numerous Shabbatot in the future. All of these different answers are given, and the Gemara is going to reject. But the Gemara will accept this last answer. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda says, quoting Shmuel, Ihavoi hava hasam, had I been there, hava amina, I would have said, Didi adifa mididhu, my answer is better than their answer. What is it? The Torah says, V'chai bohem. These are the mitzvahs the person shall do, and he shall live by them, meaning V'lo sheyamus bohem, and not to die for the mitzvahs. Yeah.
Starts off by saying you had Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar, and then they start bringing these other ones. Why did they have to be part of, say, these three guys walking together when they bring some other guys who apparently were not even involved?
So the Tanoim who were mentioned initially were, you know, each of them does end up weighing in, meaning we get Rabbi Yishmael, we get Rabbi Akiva, we get Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, yeah?
Yeah.
The other two who are in that story are the ones who are following them and presumably raise this question. And then the others, once we've started on this list of opinions, we're now going to bring the other opinions that were voiced at other times. The Gemara's conclusion, after they've rejected the other answers and accepted only V'chai Bahem, is that it says, see that? Sometimes just one hot pepper is better than a basket full of gourds. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Meaning to say, look, yeah, you have to go through everything in order to find this sharp response, which was a response that came from an Amora. Right? It's from a later, much later generation. But that's the answer that the Gemara accepts. The Gemara is taking it as a given that this is the law. You know, the question is not, what do I do? The question is, why do I do it? You know, how do I know that this is what we're supposed to do? But everybody uniformly accepts that that's the practice. So take a look now in the Nishmas Avraham on page Tav Yud Dalet at the letter Tess. It raises an interesting point. The first paragraph there at Tess, I'm not going to read through because we just read it. It was just a chunk out of what we saw in Source Aleph. But look at number one. V'chai bahem la'olam haba. What do you mean? He explains. V'lecharet sarech iyun. This requires some examination. Ki atargum unkulus kosev, because unkulus, in his Aramaic commentary to the Torah, on the pasuk v'chai bahem, he shall live by these mitzvos, Kosev, he writes, V'chai bahon b'chaye olma, that you shall live eternally. In other words, when the Torah says, these are the mitzvos, asher ya'aseh osam ha'adam v'chai bahem, these are the mitzvos that a person shall do and live by them, Onkelos is also bothered by the words v'chai bahem. What does v'chai bahem mean? Let's take a step back here. The way we got our drasha of v'chai bahem v'lo sheyamus bahem was because the Rabbanan were bothered by the words v'chai bahem. You could have just said, these are the mitzvahs that a person shall perform. What are you gaining by adding the words, and you shall live by them? So the Gemara took it as live as opposed to die. But he points out, Onkelos takes it as live in the next world, as opposed to in this world, to say that if you do these mitzvahs here, you get life, eternal life. The Kachkas of Atargum HaMiyuchas Leonis and Ben Uziel, and he says what we call Pseudo-Jonathan, the Aramaic commentary to the Torah, to the Chumash, that's attributed to Yonis and Ben Uziel. It's not really him. Yonis and Ben Uziel only produced a Targum on the Navi. He didn't produce one on Chumash. So there's a Targum out there on Chumash that is attributed to him, but it's not him. But in any case, he says there that it also appears. V'kachkas of Rashi. And in fact, Rashi recorded it too. V'hu meh taras kohanim. And not only that, it has a very good pedigree. It's from the body of Medrash on Sefer Vayikra. V'chai bahem, you shall live by them, la'olam haba, means in the next world. Shem tomar ba'olam hazeh v'alo sefu humeis. It can't mean you shall live by them in this world, because people die eventually. So it must be, it's talking about eternal life in some future realm. Ad kam l'shono. End of quote from Rashi. So the v'chein ra'isi shoel harashash. And in fact, the Rashash who's found in the back of a standard edition of the Gemara, on our Gemara in Source Aleph, he says, Karsha Lahavin. It's hard to understand this v'chay bahem idea. Da unkos tirkamo v'chay bahon v'chay oma. Unkos explained it to mean you shall live by them eternally. So how do I understand v'chay bahem being used for this halachic purpose if Rashi, unkos, they're not taking it that way? So the second column, umatzasi shakosev hachida. Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. I found that he wrote it. V'hashta. Lo levada diika ledachuye ledishmuel, ela lekushta de milsa kra asal olam habo de lo kishmuel. Evidently, he's following up on a previous point that he made before the excerpt here, in which he argued logically against Shmuel. And he says, not only is Shmuel questionable from a logical perspective, but from a tradition perspective, we don't get it. That's not the way we take the sentence. Where does Shmuel go? Shmuel's after the Taras Kohanim Medrash. V'yeira'e d'haynu mai d'amur rabbanan ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. He says this is an illustration of the principle that the rabbanan, that the sages use when they say a pasuk does not depart from its simple meaning. What do you mean? D'agam d'ikala midrashe la'olam haba. Granted, you could present a medrash that this is referring to Olam Haba. Ukeditir gemuha unkulos v'Rashi, the way that unkulos took it and Rashi took it. Mikamakom hapshat ba'olam hazeiri. The simple read is in fact that it's regarding this world, not the next world. V'alkein zos haisa l'Rava lomar l'Shmuel lesle pircha, and that's why Rava comments on the Gemara, saying there is no challenge to Shmuel's position. Klomar miyale alev lemifrak dok petishkach lesle pircha, which when Rava, we didn't read, but if I continued the Gemara from Source Aleph, when Rava challenges all the other opinions, and he says, but Shmuel's view has no challenge. He says, Rava was thinking about exactly this point and saying, don't be bothered by this. Just to unpack this a little bit more, what the Chida is suggesting is this. Pshat and Drash will both be bothered by the same phenomena in a text. They'll both be bothered by extra letters, unusual turns of phrase, whatever it is. In this case, the two extra words, v'chay v'hem. But they will explain them in different ways. Pshat is going to try to find some way that the story simply reads straight. Story meaning literally a story, or story meaning the law as it's presented, whatever type of pasuk you're talking about. And so here, in context, this is talking about doing mitzvos and what you are commanded to do. And in that context, v'chay bahem is not a promise of reward. V'chay bahem is part of yaseh osam. These are the things that a person should do, and a person should live doing them. It's an instruction. That's pshat. Drash is less concerned with what's going on in context, and more concerned with, well, what else could v'chay bahem possibly mean that would explain this? And in this case, well, there's another type of chayim, aside from the simple meaning of chayim, there's life in the next world, and that's what's being hinted at here. Neither is right or wrong. There's no way to say the pshat is right, the drash is right. It doesn't work that way. Both of them rely on a tradition, ultimately, to explain something and to pass that down to us. Neither has the claim to be the approach. What he's saying is you can't get carried away with your drash to the extent where you ignore your pshat. And what's happening in the Gemara, what Rav Yehuda is quoting from Shmuel, is saying, as a matter of halacha, we can draw on this in the pshat read, despite the fact that in the drash world there's another way to take this. And that happens, throughout Gemara, but usually it's the opposite. Usually it's the halacha that's learned from the drash. And the pshat doesn't seem to match that. This is a case where it's flipped. He then writes, back in the Nishmas Avram, V'kach kasav ha-ben Ishchai, so wrote the Ben Ishchai as well, Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. He also gave the same idea, but Tzarech Iyun, and he says, now I'm stuck, the Nishmas Avram says, Shelo ha-rashash, v'lo ha-chida, v'lo ha-ben Ishchai, heviyu shekein kasav v'pashto ha-ramban. He says, I don't know why they all had to come along and reinvent the wheel. I mean, the Rashash just asked the question in the 19th century. Chida, I believe, is 18th century. Ben Ishchai is 19th century. He says, I don't know why none of them opened up the Ramban, who 500 years ago already addressed this issue. Ramban writes on the Pasuk, Asher yase osam ha'adam b'chay bohem. These are the mitzvahs one shall do and live by them. V'rabuseinu amru, our sages said, b'chay bohem v'lo sheyamus bohem. L'lamed al pikuach nefesh adocha ha'mitzvahs. Right? He says, we read, that v'chay bohem and not to die by them, that teaches that saving a life overrides other mitzvahs. U'midrasha, when he said, yeah, there's a medrash also. Midrasha od, v'chay bohem l'olam ha'ba. Shim Tomar Bolam Hazeh Balo Sefer Humeis, which was just what Rashi had said. So Ramban had no problem quoting you the way it's used la halacha and saying, and by the way, there's a medrash on this too. That's all. Okay, that was an interesting observation of his. But now we get to a very interesting practical halachic question. Here's the scenario before we see it inside. I can give you a straightforward case. The law regarding Yom Tov is that if a person performs malacha on Yom Tov, that knowingly with witnesses and the whole bit, their penalty is lashes. If a person violates Shabbos that way, their punishment is capital punishment, misa, death at the hands of a Beit Din, assuming witnesses and warnings and all the other things that are required. So obviously, which one is more severe? Which one is more harsh? Shabbos. Okay. So now what about the following case? There's someone who's a diabetic. They know that they need to test their blood sugar every fill-in-the-blank number of hours. Yom Tov is a Friday. So it's now Friday evening. Yom Tov is going to end, I'm making up times, doesn't matter, at 7 o'clock, and Shabbos is going to begin. Should they do their blood test that they don't really need yet at 6:30, so that it will only have been done on Yom Tov, which is less severe than Shabbos? Or do you say, no, you wait until you need a blood test, which is going to be that night, and it'll be Shabbos, but it's saving a life, because that's the way we treat serious diabetes as, a life-threatening condition. And therefore, at that point, you override Shabbos because, that's what you do for pikuach nefesh. It's an interesting question, right? Do I take care of the situation before it becomes pikuach nefesh, because now it's less serious? It's not as great an avera. Or do I say, no, you have to wait until it's pikuach nefesh, even though at that point you'll be overriding something that's more serious. You'll be overriding Shabbos instead of Yom Tov. Follow? It's an interesting question. So that's what he addresses here in number two. Ma'adif, what is better, l'chalel Shabbos o Yom Tov? Cholesha be'erev Shabbos, shu gam Yom Tov, nimtza b'matzav shedei savir, Shemachar b'Shabbat yeh b'sakanas nefashos ach yenitan az b'ofen barur l'atzilas chayav. You have somebody who is ill on Friday, which is also Yom Tov, and he's in a condition which, logically, playing it out, on Shabbos, if we don't treat it now, he's going to end up being in danger. Okay, so you don't have to give the diabetic case I gave you. Someone has a bad cut that looks like it's going to be infected. Yeah, and you can come up with any number of cases that you want to come up with. But something where, if you don't take care of it now, you think he's going to end up on Shabbos in a pikuach nefesh condition. Amnam, however, gam hayom, yom tov, kesha'adayin eino b'sakanas nefashos, nitan lasos osa pe'ula, kedei limno matzav shel sakanas nefashos machar. You could do now what you're going to end up needing to do tomorrow, and that way prevent that person from entering into danger. Im ha'pi'ula doreshes chilul Shabbos de'oraisa, assuming that would involve violation of Shabbos on a biblical level, ha'im ratzui mibichina hilchatit la'asasa hayom, would it be desirable, from a halachic perspective, to do it today? Yeah, tough tedvav? Here. You go. I've got plenty. Okay. So he says, should you do this on Yom Tov, she'isura bilav, where it's a basic prohibition, kidei lo lava lechilo Shabbos, she'isura b'misas based in, to avoid violating Shabbos, which is already a capital act. Oh, asur lechalel es hayom tov. Kevin Shane Hayom Hora Arifuit Levatea Pula Zos. Or should I say no? There's no medical requirement that I do this today in the current condition. And therefore I should let Yom Tov go, and when it's needed, it'll be needed. L'mashal, for example, he says, Chole machlat klayot. He gives the case of somebody who has kidney disease. Shematzavo holechu medarder la'at la'at. His condition is deteriorating. Ubarur shebekarov yitzterech ledializa. You know he's going to need dialysis soon. Lefachos pam achas, at least once. Kedei la'atzeles chayav, to save his life. Kishebe'erev Shabbos shu gam yom tov. Eino b'sakhanas nefashos. As of Friday, which is Yom Tov, he's not in danger. Veino zakuk ledializa dechufa. He does not need immediate dialysis. Ela lefi mahalacha machala yitachin sheyitzterech ledializa machar Shabbat Kodesh. But based on the progress of his disease, it's logical to think he's going to need dialysis tomorrow, which will be Shabbos. Umibchina refuit yesh netia lo lasos es hadializa ela kshase yehechrechi. From a medical perspective, there is actually reason not to do the dialysis until it's necessary. So he added in a complication. There's nothing wrong with a diabetic doing a blood test when it's not needed. I'm assuming that he doesn't have vein problems and whatever else. Yeah, it's harmless for him to do that. In this case, you actually don't want to do a dialysis until it becomes necessary. Ha'im mibchina hilchatit ratzui levatzeyas hadializa hayom toch kedei chilo yom tov kedei liimana michilo Shabbos machar. So should we say halachically that you should do the dialysis today in order to avoid violating Shabbos tomorrow? Oh, ha'im asur la'asos kein ki ein sibar refuit hayom biyom tov la'asos es ha'pi'ula u'mele yitzdarchu machar l'chalos ha'Shabbos l'viyatzarach. Or do I say no, you can't do it today because there's no medical reason to do it, and therefore you wait and then you'll do it tomorrow when it's Shabbos? Vekosev Hamek Davar. He's going to present an interesting arrangement of views. He first quotes Hamek Davar, that's the Netziv Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And he says, Tov lasos isur chamur, kishiyagia lidei pikuach nefesh, milasos isur kal, bisha sheyachol leyos she'ein kan pikuach nefesh. Better to do something serious when it comes to pikuach nefesh than to do something that's not as serious beforehand. And what he's basing it on is what I brought you in the separate sheets. Take a look, please. Source base. This is a story in which, in the Parshas Korach, the Jews have complained, after Korach's already done, the Jews have complained, you know, you killed the nation of God. Atem hamitem es am Hashem. And a plague begins in the nation, and Aaron stops the plague by bringing Ketores. But he brings the Ketores outside of the Mishkan. Right? And he's bringing his own spontaneous Ketores. Who died in the Torah for bringing Ketores Zarah, foreign incense? Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's own two sons. So he's breaking the law, bringing this Ketores inappropriately, and he's really breaking it twice. He's doing it on his own. It's not the normal Ketores, which itself makes a Ketores Zara even in the Mishkan. And second, he does it outside of the Mishkan. So keep that in mind. Watch the way the story develops. But in source base, Vayilonu kol adas b'nei Yisrael mimacharas al Moshe v'al Aharon le'mor atem hamitem es am Hashem. The Jews complained about Moshe and Aharon, saying, you killed the nation of God. You killed Korach and his crew. Vayehi, and it was, Behikahel ha'edah Moshe v'al Aharon. Everybody gathers upon Moshe and Aharon. Gathering al Moshe v'al Aharon is an expression of aggression when it says al. And Vayifnu alom away, they turn to the tent of meeting. V'hinech yisaw ha'anon. It's covered by the cloud that indicates Hashem's presence. Vayeirah kvod Hashem, and Hashem's glory is manifest. And then, as the plague develops, Vayor Moshe al Aharon, Moshe says to Aharon, Kach es hamachta, take the pan for the incense. V'sen aleha eish me'alem isbeach, put on fire from the altar. V'sim ketores, put ketores on it. V'holech mehera el ha'eda, and bring it quickly to the nation. V'chaper aleihem, and atone for them. Ki atza ketzef milifnei Hashem hechel anogef, because God's anger has gone forth and the plague has begun. That's what Moshe says to Aharon. This is an emergency, go do it. And the Gemara on that asks, how does Moshe know that Ketores is going to be effective? And it says that when Moshe is on Har Sinai, there's an indication in a pasuk in Tehillim, I think, that Moshe was given gifts. And one of the gifts he gets is that the angel of death tells him that when there's a plague, bring the incense and that will save people. And that's how Moshe knows that this is what they should do. Vayikach Aharon, kasher diber Moshe. Aharon took the incense, as Moshe said, Vayarat el toha gaol, he ran out into the nation. V'inei echel hanegev ba'am, and behold, sure enough, the plague had begun. V'yitenes ha-ketaras, he puts the ketaras, the incense, in. V'yichaper ala'am, and he atones for the nation. Did Aaron do what Moshe told him to do? The answer is no, or I wouldn't be asking that question. But how did Aaron vary from what Moshe told him to do?
Was he able to ask when he did it?
Right, it doesn't say anything whether he did the ash or not.
It says kasher dibur Moshe.
Except it says he took it, as Moshe said, which he did, kachas hamachta, so maybe that includes the fire too. But when does he put the ketaras in the pan? In Moshe's instruction, he's supposed to do the actual act of burning the incense in the Mishkan,
right?
Minimizing the violation. Now, even if it's an independent ketaras, which is wrong, at least it's done in the Mishkan, and then take it out to the nation and atone for them, whatever atoning for them means.
I can read that it's supposed to be done in the Mishkan, though.
Because he says, put it in fire from the Mizbeach and place the ketaras and bring it to the nation.
And then, so he goes to the nation and does this.
He instead goes to the nation, he takes the pan, which presumably is with the fire, as Moshe said, and he ran to the nation, and the plague had begun, and then he puts the ketaras on it. So the question is, what's Aharon doing? So Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin is sensitive to this. Take a look at what he does in Source Gimel. I thought this was really worth seeing the way he played it out, so I retyped the whole thing. There's no cut-and-pastable version for this Hamik Dever yet. We'll have to wait for the copyright to expire, I think. Varikvar hodia Moshe shehechel hanagef. He says, what do you mean? Moshe already told him that the plague had begun. What was he waiting for? So he says, and further, the whole thing, the whole passage here, why are you spelling out what it was that Aaron did? What is it there to teach me? Just say, Aaron did what Moshe told him to do, and the nation stopped dying. The answer is, Aaron altered from what Moshe told him to do. He didn't put the ketaras on until he got to the people. Lamadnu mize, dimishum shahaya devar Moshe, because Moshe's instructions were his own. It was Moshe's initiative. And what Moshe was doing was not horas shah. It wasn't the Navi saying, time to break the rules. This was within the rules. People are dying, and this is what you do. And therefore Moshe said, at least do it in the Mishkan. And that way, it's still a foreign fire, foreign incense, but it's not, as I added in brackets, outside the Mishkan, which would be worse. Aval, kol zek shubarur shakvar hechel hanegev. That's because, or that's based on the assumption that the plague has begun. Mashein kenim ein yadua beverur. But not if you don't know for sure. Tov lazos iser chamur kishiyagia lidei pikuach nefesh. Milazos iser kal b'shashi yacholios shein kan pikuach nefesh. Better to do something that's going to be more severe, but knowing that you're saving lives, as opposed to doing something lighter, but I don't know if the plague began yet. Maybe there won't be a plague. Maybe people won't be dying. So Aaron wants to see for himself that there is a plague. That's the idea. Mishum hachi, therefore, kasher nistapek Aaronim kvar hechel hanagef. Aaron wasn't sure. They're in the camp. They're at the tent. Aaron isn't sure whether the plague has begun or not. Sharei lo tiber b'shem Hashem. Moshe wasn't speaking for God there. It was his own advice. V'ulai barachem eshemayim nishma tefilasam legamri. Maybe their prayer on behalf of the Jews would work. Alkein lo hiktir b'fnim. Therefore, he didn't bring the incense in the Mishkan, Ela Bavo'o L'Makom HaKahol, only once he had arrived where the people were. You follow? That's the idea. So back in the text now. That's his comment in the HaMeg Davar. The Nitziv, in his commentary on the Torah, his primary commentary is called HaMeg Davar, but then he has footnotes on his own commentary that are called Herchev Davar. He's broadening it. So there he writes, Ubeherchev Davar Hu Kosev, we're about 8-9 lines up from the bottom. Mize Yesh Lomod Beyom Tov Shechal Be'erev Shabbos. We could learn from this for Yom Tov, which occurs on a Friday. Ube Shabbos Yiyah Inyan Sakonas Nefashos, where come Shabbos there will be danger to life. V'nitzterech lasas malacha b'yom tov, we'll have to do malacha on yom tov, o b'shabbos, or on Shabbos, mishum pikuach nefesh, to save a life. Im barur shatiya hasakana b'shabbos, if it is clear that the danger will be on Shabbos, Yosir Tov lahaktim hamalacha biyomtov to kill mishavis. If it's clear, if I know as certain can be, that this is going to balloon into a pikuach nefesh situation, then I would do it right now. Vim eina davar barur. If it's not clear, then like Aaron, Yosir Tov lahashos. Better to wait. Uchshatavu asakana az yichalu shavis kodesh mipnei pikuach nefesh. And then when it becomes a life and death circumstance, then you do it. Ad kam l'shono. We are assuming, by the way, that you know for sure that you will have the resources available to do this on Shabbos. Meaning, if there's a chance that, you know, right now I could do the dialysis, but on Shabbos the machine may not be available, it may break down, the person may not be in condition, whatever it is, then of course I do it right now. This is assuming all else being equal, that I'm not going to run into a problem carrying this out when it's needed. So he says, that's the position of the Nitziv. The Kosev al Zeha Igros Moshe. However, Moshe Feinstein disagreed with this. He says, "Ubidvar chidush shalagon hanitziv zal b'sefer hamigdavar parshas kavach." Regarding this novelty introduced by the Nitziv, he says, "B'misha barush etiyalo inyan sakana lamachar b'shabbos." Regarding somebody who it is clear is going to be dangerously ill tomorrow. V'yitzterech lasas malacha b'shabbos, as such that you'll need to do it on Shabbos. U'kshayasa malacha be'erv Shabbos, lo yitzterech lasas malacha b'shabbos, where if I do it now, Friday, I won't have to do it on Shabbos. Sha'afsha k'sha'erev Shabbos hu yom tov, even if erev Shabbos, even if Friday is actually yom tov, yase be'erv Shabbos, still do it on Friday. Right? That was the Nitziv. He's just quoting the Nitziv right now. If I know for sure that that's what's going to develop, and again, knowing for sure means reasonable certainty. Shurak be isur lav. Better to do it on Yom Tov, which is just a lo sase. Kedei shelo yitzdarech lasos hamalacha b'shabbos shu isur skila. So I don't have to do it on Shabbos, which is a capital crime. So that's the quote. And now he says, vaday hu milsa de tmiha. He says this is certainly shocking. Dekeven de hayom leka sakana. Since right now there is no danger. And tomorrow, if he's dangerously ill, that's okay. We can do malacha to save him. And we've already said that violating Shabbos to save a life is a mitzvah. So there's no reason to permit him to violate Yom Tov. Avshu kill me Shabbos, granted it's less than Shabbos is. Bottom line, it's not pikuach nefesh right now. You follow? He says, I don't accept this logic. Granted, we have a principle that if somebody is in danger, we try to violate the lesser prohibition first. Right? So if I have to give him something that's not kosher as food, I give him something that's not kosher in the least way. He says, that's true. That if I have a choice of ways to save this person, I save him in the lightest way possible. But he kisha'ika kavar hasakana. That's where the person is already in danger. Sha'azuz mana hatzala. That's the time to save him. V'yesh lahatzal v'yisr kal v'yisr chamar. I have a choice. I could save him with a lesser thing. I could save him with a greater thing. Tzarech lahatzal v'kal. So I have to do it with a lesser thing. V'chein hayahadin kisha'ika chashash sakana lamachar. And that would also be the law if there was concern for danger tomorrow. Veloya dua im yeyev sharos lemachar lahatzilim lo yasu amlacha yom. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to save him tomorrow. That's also a different story. Shavadai, then definitely afsha lemachar yeyachol, even though tomorrow will be a weekday. Vayomu Shabbos yemutar lasas b'Shabbos. Just imagine this circumstance. Imagine that today is Shabbos, tomorrow is just a regular old Sunday. Guy's not in danger now. He's going to be in danger tomorrow. And I don't know that I'm going to have the resources to take care of him tomorrow. Then I do it now. But that's not at all comparable to what you're talking about, he says. That's a case where I don't know that I'm going to be able to. But then I would do it now. Afsha dayin leka sakana, even though there's no danger now. Me'achar shalafi derecha teva beha'umdana ti'yelamachar sakana. Because based on nature, what I know of science, and based on logic, yeah, he'll be in danger tomorrow. And I'm not sure I could save him then. That's fine. That's not our case. Ve'im ki agavna, yiyya kishasakana omdin, shetia biyom rishon, va'az lo yuchul atzilo, va'av rak besafekim yuchul atzilo, uchshayasu amalach leze be'erv Shabbos, shu yom tovo b'Shabbos yuchul atzilo, vada yitzarchul asus be'erv Shabbos, v'lo b'Shabbos, shu b'din akala kalchila. He says, and if you were to give me the case, such that the danger is there, and you won't be able to save him if you wait till Sunday. You're not sure. And when you do the malacha on Friday, which is Yom Tov, you do the malacha on Shabbos, then you can save him. So yeah, then you do it fine. And you do it on Friday better than to do it on Shabbos, and that's hakala katchila. Aval kishasakana tia b'Shabbos. Ba'ofen shebarur shegam b'Shabbos yuchlu lahatzilo b'yisur malacha. But if the danger is going to be on Shabbos, and you know, yeah, I know clearly, we'll be able to save him. Don't worry about it. Then don't do it on Yom Tov. So then, he's not in danger right now, so don't violate Yom Tov. Wait till it's Shabbos. That's Rav Moshe's position. He then tells you to look at Rav Yehoshua Neuver to the Shmir Shabbos Kehelchasa. He writes here that it sounds like from him that the halacha is like the hamik davar, but it's really very clear in the Shmir Shabbos that the halacha is like the hamik davar, meaning that I would do it on Friday if I know for sure that he's going to come to need it on Shabbos. V'shamati mimori Rabbi Shlita, I heard from my Rebbe, who is Rav Neuwirth of the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, shekein dato, that this is his view, to follow indeed the position of the Nitziv. V'nimuko imo, and his reason is with him in this. Shekevan shekimat ubatuach shemachar b'Shabbos hachole yia b'sakanas nefashos, since it is almost certain that tomorrow the patient is going to need life saving. As gam hayom b'yom shishi k'shadayin ein hu b'sakana. Listen to the logic. He says that even on Friday when he's not in danger, harodeif kevar nimtza. He says I view the illness like a rodeif, like a pursuer. So the pursuer is already there on Friday. Otherwise, how could I predict that he's going to need this on Shabbos? He's already ill. He's already in the process of becoming dangerously sick. So better for me to take care of it now when it's less of an issue. Grant that it will be mutter to violate Shabbos for this on Shabbos, once he actually is dangerously ill. He says, Shlomo Zalman told me that I agree that since he's going to be dangerously ill and you're going to need to do the dialysis for sure, so you do it on Yom Tov. Avoid doing it on Shabbos. Clear? Okay. One other point. Take a look at your sheets, please. In the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa that he quoted, he tries to argue that Rav Moshe himself is inconsistent. Because he quotes you another tshuva, which I brought excerpted here, in Source Dalet. Rav Moshe, this is different from the tshuva that you saw in the Nishmas Avraham. U'bedvar chole sha'ata ein b'machalaso sakana, regarding a patient who is not in danger right now. Aval alul mizeh lavo l'machla acheres, she misugenes. But as a result of his current illness, he is going to come into another illness, which is dangerous. In yesh la'atir lo livloa kadur hanikra pilin b'yom ha'kippurim b'lo mayim. So will we allow him on Yom Kippur to swallow a pill without water? L'viyoni is daiti, in my humble opinion, me'achar shemachla zu sheyesh lo hi goremes sheyechla ba'od machla misukenes, since his current disease is going to lead to a dangerous disease, yesh la'achshiv gam machla zu l'misukenes, so we consider him to be dangerously ill now. His life isn't in danger yet, but his illness that he has right now is a life-threatening disease. Av she'im neida shelo yechle yoser ein b'machla zu sakana. Granted, even if we know that even if we were to know that he wasn't going to get any worse, this disease would not be dangerous. In other words, he has I don't know what to give as a proper medical example, but he has something right now which can lead to a separate condition, separate but somehow linked condition. So theoretically, if it doesn't lead to that linked condition, he's not going to be in danger. But it's, they believe that it is going to lead there. Since if he doesn't get this cured, it could become vulnerable to this later this worse disease. So this illness is considered a danger for this patient. If I remember correctly, it's already several days since I looked at this, but if I remember correctly, he brings the example of the cholera epidemic, where I think it's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, they say, got up in shul on Yom Kippur and made kiddush to make sure that everybody would eat. Because he said, if you don't eat, you will be more vulnerable to this life-threatening condition. So he brings that as his example. You treat the lesser condition in order to avoid the life-threatening condition. So the Shmir Shamas Kelchasa quotes this and says, well, if you're willing to look at it like that, that we treat the lesser condition to avoid being in the worst condition, then why wouldn't you follow the Nitziv's logic regarding the fellow who has this disease on Friday that's going to get worse on Shabbos? So he argued that Rav Moshe himself is inconsistent. And according to what he has in this source, he would agree, in fact, that you would say, if you know that this is where it's leading, treat him on Friday to avoid violating Shabbos. That's what it. That's certainly his conclusion in the Nishmas Avram. All right, so we'll pick up, God willing, in 2 weeks.